dedication, all this great stuff. And we need an Evan Wolf from Alfred. I mean, who uses that anymore? Just kidding, Stephen, you're out there in the audience. But all these great tools are written by geeks, and they're written for geeks. And, in search, every query can kind of look like a nail, and us geeks, we love our cameras. But there is one little problem. Despite our efforts to build the Swiss Army knife of information for people, it turns out you people are fickle to trust decisions to machines. It's not just big decisions, even small decisions. It's, should I wear a jacket outside today? Where's the best place in Olisa to eat Italian food, become vegetarian, those types of things. In fact, 8% of people told us that they would use all the amazing tools that we built to narrow down their search. But they would actually stop and walk away until they had a chance to talk to somebody else. I mean, 8 out of 10 times our tools fail in favor of actually just talking to somebody. That's just crazy. But now we have this new arrow in our quiver. We have this new thing that we can actually use, and it's this explosion of social data. But is it really going to help us make search more useful, more better for all of us? Yes, it is, both for technical reasons and also for human reasons. So let's take technical first. The first problem is there's simply too much data. There's too much. 2/3 of people we surveyed feel there's an overwhelming amount of data returned to them in search. Overwhelming. And they're right. Last year alone, humans created 1.8 zettabytes of data. Exactly. Thank you, Jeff. A zettabyte is a big, big number. I can't even actually comprehend that. It's actually 57 billion 32 gig iPad 2s. It's that many. If you stack those end to end, you would have two Great Walls of China. It's that big. It's the equivalent of every man, woman, and child in the U.S. tweeting 3 times a minute for the next 23,000 years. Or for Albert Stoble does in a month. So 6% of people told us that they wonder whether they found best information when they're using search, and it's harder to make decisions. See, neuroscientists actually tell us there's this thing called decision quicksand, which says our minds, the way our minds work, we see a bunch of options, a bunch of things, and the more things we see, the more important we assume that decision is. And in search, when you have every query returns back 1.8 billion results, our minds are overwhelmed. We actually begin to equate Jersey Shore with ovarian cancer as being equivalently important because we see about the same amount of results. That's absolutely ridiculous. So from a human perspective, we need help. And social data can actually help narrow down that massive data. From a machine perspective, processing 1.8 zettabytes of data, and by the way, this year's projected to 2.5 zettabytes of data, which is, again, a mind-blowingly large number. But it's getting harder to process all this information. Now, social data itself is very fleeting. It's very, very different. It's images, it's updates, it's tweets, it's all these different types of things that aren't normally indexable by search engines. But all those things actually provide us clues. They help us narrow down that 1.8 zettabytes of data to something which actually can be useful and meaningful to use. So social data isn't a fad. In fact, it's a requirement for the machines that we have today to understand and process all this data that we have. So that's the technical reason why social data is so important. From a human standpoint, we're actually biologically conditioned in our lizard and primate brains to do this. In fact, I was out doing some studies with some of our researchers. I was at a woman's home, and she was planning a trip somewhere. And she actually went in and she tried to use the web to find some information. She printed out all these forms and printed out all these hotels and printed out all these flight options, and she bound them into a binder, and she went to her husband and said, "Honey, which of these should we go do?" I'm thinking, wow, that's really bizarre. You know, that's such a strange behavior. But in actuality, a lot of us do the same thing. We use bookmarks, we put links to mail, we send them out. We are biologically conditioned to engage others when we're actually making decisions. In fact, cavemen, think about it, they communicated to stay safe, to spread news and stories, and generally form a strong society. But the cavemen were mostly within earshot. This all could happen because they were together. And as we progressed as a human species, we began to wander out to the prairies, and it was harder and harder to actually have these conversations over long distances. And so we began to crave this. And so what did we do? We invented the telephone. The telephone actually began to get us back to our roots as cave people, and actually began to help us reconnect to each other. And now, of course, the developed world is now completely connected. We've now really come full circle in our ability to do that that which we are biologically conditioned to do is now at scale, is now at our fingertips. So we want this new digital communal collective. We want this to augment that which we do naturally, which is to ask people for advice when making decisions. So at the end of the day, social data will lead to better outcomes using search. And there's a few reasons for this. The first is that we know from research that social data actually helps with better decision making. There was an article by Jonah Lehrer in, I think it was the journal last year. He examined Wall Street traders. He examined how they use social data to make better trades. So he examined 66 day traders over an 18-month period. And he discovered that these traders would talk amongst themselves. They exchanged, in fact, an astonishing number of messages, over 2 million exchanges over the course of that 18-month period. What they found was that the average trader was engaging in 16 IM conversations at a single time. But what they found was when they actually acted together, when they actually made decisions based on the social data, 70% of their trades made money, which is about 20 points higher than the average. And they more than doubled their money per trade. Now you might just say that's insider trading, that's obvious. But actually, no. This was actually something where they actually collaborated in real time using these tools, and they were able to make better decisions as a result of that. That's actually really important for happiness. Other studies have found that when we follow a path that someone else has already gone down that looks like ours, we're actually happier with that decision. So if I know that someone else bought this shirt and I see it on that person and I say, well, I like that shirt, I'll buy that as well. I'm actually happier with that decision. So we know that social data is critical for happiness. So that's how social is going to affect service. It's not showing plus ones or likes next to a result. It's about two things. First, about replicating what you do in real life, but much faster, much more efficiently, and much more comprehensively. And, one of the ways we're doing that, this is not a pitch for Bing per se, but we introduced this new social search thing last month, and we had this thing called Sidebar, which Sidebar shows you for each query which of your friends might have information about that query. So you know now, if I love a restaurant in Olita, the vegetarian, for example, and Kripali does a query for Melita restaurants, so she'll see me now as someone who can help her with that actual query. But it also shows you which people you don't know that might have information about that query. So it might show you a great reviewer in New York who does restaurant reviews, and she can give you ideas about particular places to go. The bottom line is that what you do today amplified via digital. So it's faster and more efficient. Literally, now we are able to use this social detritus that we're